Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on January 15th, 2021, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at the second impeachment of President Donald Trump and one of the Republicans who voted in favor of it. We hear about Governor Henry McMaster's fourth State of the State address and look at what happened during the first week of session. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell gives an update on monetary policy, and we continue to delve into how the state is handling the vaccination efforts. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. Like maybe you've gotten the first dose or even the second dose of one of these vaccines. Let us know. We want to hear all about that. Very interested. 803-563-7169. And we got some more news for you. We are having a lead happy hour coming up on February 4th at 6:30 p.m.
Brown liquor.
That's right, folks. February 4th, 6:30 p.m. Mark your calendars. We have Eventbrite information that we can send out to you soon. But let us know what you want to talk about. You can DM us on our socials or text our voicemail, or you can email me at gjackson@scetv.org. Now, that's my private email address, so please don't spread it around. But let us know. It's going to be a pretty easygoing happy hour. And if you had some questions, that'd be great because I can help direct how the conversation goes. So again, February 4th, 6:30 p.m. We can't wait. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 5,153 confirmed deaths, and currently there are 341,597 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of January 15th at 4 p.m. And we're still seeing incomplete data from DHEC, so numbers are still a bit wonky. But one shocking number we did see on Friday was that there were 93 confirmed deaths being reported. And if you factor in the unconfirmed deaths, it was 104. Now, DHEC also reports that a percent positive is 16.5%, which is quite a drop from the 47.6% we saw just days prior. And on Friday, the global death toll from the coronavirus topped 2 million, according to Johns Hopkins data. And to put even more pressure on vaccination efforts, the CDC is predicting that by March, the more contagious COVID-19 strain will be the dominant strain circulating in the country. Let's start off the podcast with the second impeachment of President Donald Trump. Now, while Congresswoman Nancy Mace may have had some tough words for the president and a desire to hold him accountable, she did not do so by voting to impeach him on Wednesday. Instead, only 10 Republicans joined 222 Democrats to impeach the president over inciting an insurrection. And to the surprise of pretty much everyone, our own 7th Congressional District Republican Tom Rice was one of them. Rice has represented the district, which spans much of the PD and Grand Strand, since its inception in 2012. And I spoke with him about his reversal to vote to impeach the president on Thursday.
I was against impeachment. I was against them bringing up impeachment. What I want to do is try to bind the wounds of the country. And I would have preferred if they had allowed his last few days in office to run out without continuing this controversy. But if I have to vote yes or no, if they put the vote in front of me, the events of last Wednesday and his behavior in the week since, in my mind, is completely inexcusable and a complete abdication of leadership. Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about this. Did you discuss this decision with any of your colleagues in the delegation? Because, you know, one of your new colleagues, Nancy Mace, she was, you know, blistering her attacks with President Donald Trump, but said this was too rushed, so she voted against impeachment. Other congressmen, other Republicans in the delegation voted against it as well. What are your thoughts on how they voted and how you came to this conclusion to vote for impeachment?
I don't like the process either. I would have preferred that we had hearings and gathered more evidence and such. But that being said, I don't know if the speech that he gave on Wednesday morning amounted to the legal definition of incitement of a riot. But I do know this. Once the rioters got into the Capitol and were ransacking the place, and were beating Capitol police officers and ultimately killing them, and heading to the door of the House and the Senate chamber, the president tweeted that the vice president lacked courage, and the vice president was in that building. And I don't know if you have seen the videos of the mob beating the Capitol police officers, but I cannot imagine what would have happened had they gotten their hands on the vice president.
And Congressman, are you surprised that more of your Republican colleagues in the House did not vote to impeach the president, citing some of the things you just said?
Everybody has to make their own decision. And I understand the arguments about process, and they're valid. But from a perspective of protecting our constitutional system and the separation of powers, where the president sends a mob to the Capitol to confront Congress, I think that it's an easy vote for me in terms of protecting our system of government. Mm-hmm. And then from a human perspective, to see what happened to the Capitol Police and to know that six people had died and hundreds injured. And it could have been much, much worse if those folks had gotten into the Senate chamber or the House chamber just a minute sooner, mm-hmm. we would have seen perhaps hundreds of deaths.
Mm-hmm. And Congressman, and I hate to cut you off. We only have about 30 seconds. I want to ask you really quickly how you feel this vote will play out, the vote you took, and how we move forward as a country and your party to heal with about 30 seconds here.
Listen, I know there's a lot of people who are upset with me, and I know there's a lot of people who are happy with me. And believe me, I'm hearing a lot from them. And I know the president won my district. If this costs me my job, I hope it doesn't. I love the job and I'm honored to represent. But if it costs me my job, it was the right vote and I would do it again today.
And in talking with Rice, I could just tell how disgusted he was by the intimidation tactics used by the president, the threat to himself and fellow lawmakers, and the brutal attacks on Capitol Police. All things that typical Republicans would normally object to. Now, while he voted for impeachment, he did also object to the certification of Arizona and Pennsylvania Electoral College votes, which will likely cost him some money from large corporate donors who have stopped contributing to such candidates. You can watch that full interview on This Week in South Carolina on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. or on our YouTube page. And just hours after that impeachment vote on Wednesday, Governor Henry McMaster gave his fourth State of the State address and outlined his priorities for the year, many of which we've discussed in the previous podcast when looking at his proposed executive budget. He did, however, conclude his 48-minute-long address with a call for unity.
We all know this has been a tumultuous year, with shocking and disturbing displays of violence, lawlessness, anger, and rage all across the country. We have recently witnessed the shocking and sad desecration, in our beloved capital in Washington. The voices and volume have become so loud that many Americans are not listening to each other anymore. But this too shall pass. It will pass. I'm reminded of a thought that I shared with you at my inauguration 2 years ago. I think it's more appropriate now than it was then. We are not competitors. We are all on the same team, a team with different jerseys representing different ideas, philosophies, perspectives, and experiences, but a team nonetheless, committed to doing what we think is best for the future prosperity, success, health, and happiness of over 5 million South Carolinians. South Carolina is not a building, it's not a monument, it's not a flag, or it's not a word on paper. South Carolina is her people, and it's been that way for over 300 years.
However, in the Democratic message, Columbia Democratic Senator Mia McLeod said McMaster was divisive over the past year as he led the state through the pandemic.
If you and your fellow Republican leaders had simply taken this virus seriously months ago by issuing a temporary statewide mask mandate and brief stay-at-home order, if you had listened to our public health experts and armed us with the truth instead of divisive partisan rhetoric, South Carolina could well be on her way towards getting us back to work, school, and life safely. Instead, Governor, you told us everything was fine, doubled down on the rollbacks and the rhetoric, and politicized mask wearing. Just last week, as record high cases continued to surge, you insisted that our schools open 5 days a week for in-person instruction. As doctors warned about a second, more deadly wave, you said, "Come on in, we're open," boasting that the business of South Carolina is business and proving that politics and profits truly do trump the health and safety of our people.
So sticking with the Statehouse, the first week of session is now done, and we have bills queued up, ready to move along, dealing with Santee Cooper in the House and the fetal heartbeat bill making its way through the Senate committee process. Now, don't expect that fetal heartbeat bill, which outlaws abortions at around 6 weeks, a time when most women don't even know that they're pregnant, to slow down anytime soon. It now goes to the full Senate Medical Affairs Committee, where some changes are expected. But once it hits the Senate floor, there will be a fight. Though, with 30 Republican senators and 16 Democrats, the smallest minority the Democrats have ever had, expect the measure to be pushed through the Senate easily. And Democrats have even fewer options to slow it down through filibustering, especially if they needed two-thirds of senators invoke cloture, which would end debate on the bill. Now, I'm going to get a little technical here. I'm using the word cloture and filibustering, but such a vote would require all Republican senators to support limiting debate on a bill. But if they do, a new Senate rule makes it that so instead of debating potentially hundreds of amendments that are on the desk when cloture is invoked, there will only be one amendment from each party. Now, once the fetal heartbeat bill clears the Senate, as we expect it to do pretty easily, it has to work through the same process in the Republican-held House, which is going to go how you think it's going to go. Even with the governor's promised signature on this bill, don't expect this to change anything immediately, as a similar law passed in Georgia is still working through the court system. And finally, lawmakers will be working remotely for their second week in session due to the possibility of unrest at the State House leading up to the inauguration next Wednesday. This is out of an abundance of caution, according to law enforcement agencies that have decided to close the State House through January 20th, citing a warning issued by the FBI about the potential for armed protest at the U.S. Capitol and state capitals around the country. The public should expect to see more law enforcement vehicles, a perimeter around the State House that will include physical barriers, as well as more law enforcement presence, both inside and outside of the State House. So just some more fallout from the culmination of lies, baseless claims, and violence that has rocked our democracy these past few months. All right, pop quiz hotshot. Yeah, that's right. I know you're not prepared and you haven't been studying because you've been working from home. But do you know what the single most important economic policy is right now in America? Estados Unidos? You know what it is? You know? Guess no. It is healthcare policy. A according to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, and he said that on a webcast with Princeton University on Thursday. How many of you had healthcare policy? Be honest, tell me. Now, specifically, he was talking about getting control of the spread of the virus, which hasn't been very successful. Powell also addressed monetary policy efforts championed by the Fed that he doesn't expect to go away anytime soon.
Now is not the time to be talking about exit. I think that another lesson of the global financial crisis is be careful not to exit too early. And by the way, don't try not to talk about exit all the time if you're not, you know, if you're sending that signal, because the markets are listening. The economy is far from our goals. And as I mentioned a couple times, we're strongly committed to our framework and to using our monetary policy tools until the job is well and truly done. And I think the taper tantrum, as you asked about the taper tantrum, it highlights, I think, the real sensitivity that markets can have about the path of asset purchases. We know we need to be very careful in communicating about asset purchases. So I would just say this on the current situation. When it does become appropriate for the committee to discuss, you know, specific dates, and that will be when we have clear evidence that we're making progress toward our goals and that we're on track to make substantial further progress toward our goals. When that happens, and we can see that clearly, we'll let the world know. We will communicate very clearly to the public, and we'll do so, by the way, well in advance of active consideration of beginning a gradual taper of asset purchases.
So again, the Fed is in no rush to taper off its policies to reinforce the economic recovery. So just chill, guys. Give Jerome Powell some breathing room here. He'll tell us when he's ready, okay? And lastly, dozens of law enforcement officers in the upstate are out of work due to COVID. Here's more from South Carolina Public Radio's Scott Morgan.
At least 73 officers between York County and Anderson County are currently in quarantine or fighting COVID. On Monday, the Greenville News reported 55 officers in sheriff's offices and municipal police departments upstate were out because of the virus. But in addition, 12 officers from the York County Sheriff's Office and one from the Chester County Sheriff's Office currently are on quarantine. Another 5 from the Rock Hill Police Department are out as well, including 2 officers who have tested positive. Spokespersons for several agencies upstate say their operations have not been significantly affected by the absences, and so far, no officers in the region have died from the virus. However, to date, 4 officers in South Carolina, one from each the Horry County, Ridgeville, and Columbia Police Departments, and the Lee County Sheriff's Office, have died from COVID-19 on the job.
Thanks for that update, Scott. It's been a while. We've felt this absence from you. I know you've been reporting, but good to hear from you. And speaking of absences, law enforcement absences will soon be a thing of the past once they are able to get vaccinated under Phase 1B, which is going to be any day now, folks. I decided to turn today's medical section into our little vaccine corner. Give you a little update, maybe sip some coffee, get the latest on the vaccine. Here, hold on. This is just really relaxing when we're talking about all things vaccine. Now move that aside. We got some news here, folks. DHEC and the Department of Labor, Licensing and Regulation has expanded the number of medical professionals who can administer the vaccine. This is some great news. Big news, going to help roll things out. And this is going to be expanding to retired nurses, medical students, and others with medical certifications. Now, this came after lawmakers vented to DHEC leaders in a Senate Medical Affairs Committee meeting this week about the slow vaccine rollout. At that meeting, DHEC Interim Director Marshall Taylor said the full Moderna allotment has been completely allocated to the long-term care facilities in the state. So what that means is that future Moderna doses will be used for widespread vaccination efforts and will be sent primarily to facilities that do not have the ultra-cold storage capabilities required for the Pfizer vaccine. Here's Taylor.
So currently, and I know there's a lot of questions about, you know, how is my grandfather, or if I'm 70 plus, how am I going to get an appointment? Okay. First of all, I want to mention, we are not getting much vaccine. Most of the appointments, or many of the appointments at this point, are booked by people who are in that first part of 1A, healthcare providers. All those folks have not been vaccinated yet. They are still, many of them have appointments booked. So when folks who are 70 plus can start signing up for appointments on Wednesday, they're not going to be a whole lot of appointments.
Carloads of folks were already lined up at the state fairgrounds in Columbia on Friday to receive their vaccine. And major hospital systems in the state are already ramping up to vaccinate up to 10,000 people a day over the coming weeks. Prisma Health said starting January 18th, two large-scale sites in Greenville and Columbia will be active, and those with appointments can receive vaccinations. If you're 70 or over, go to prismahealth.org/vaccine to request an appointment. You can also call DHEC's care line at 1-855-472-3432 for vaccine information. Down in the Lowcountry, Dr. Danielle Bowen-Schur, the Chief Quality Officer for MUSC, gave an overview of the rollout at their facilities and the challenges their network is facing.
We're currently vaccinating between 3,000 and 4,000 patients a day, all told with all those sites. Our goal is to get to 10,000 vaccines a day, assuming the vaccine supply allows for that. And we are also aiming to start vaccinating 7 days a week within the next few weeks. So that's kind of a high-level overview of our efforts so far. I think some of our pain points are ongoing unknown supply. The other is demand. As everyone knows, when the state opened up to over 70 on Monday, that represents an extremely large volume of patients throughout the state and certainly in the Charleston, Lancaster, and Florence areas. We are trying to meet that demand as best we can. And as I mentioned, we're trying to open new sites every couple of days pending staffing and vaccine supply.
So some good news there. We're seeing an increased ramp up for these vaccines. Of course, we'd all like to see it faster. But again, this is just the first month it's been available. And so far, the state is operating at a 64% utilization rate. It's all kind of incumbent upon how many doses of the vaccine we do receive, so gotta bear with us, folks. And some other news, the South Carolina National Guard has increased its COVID-19 vaccination locations to 4 with the addition of MUSC Lancaster and Chester. The Guard has vaccinated more than 1,200 people in 1 week, and it's one of the more than 1,000 missions the Guard has supported during its 308-day mobilization for COVID-19. So cheers to the members of the South Carolina National Guard and those that are heading up to DC for the inauguration. Welcome to our wind down section, our little break from the news. Shh, don't tell the news. We're having a little break. We talk about life during the pandemic, and we want to hear your stories as well. Tell us how you're handling things. If you've been vaccinated, maybe if you're going to join the Lead Happy Hour on February 4th,
That's a plug, baby.
Let us know. Tell us 803-563-7169. Leave us a name. Leave us a message with your name. Where you're calling from, little message, little update. We'd love to hear from you. 803-563-7169. AT, I only want to hear good news. So if we don't have a new voicemail, just don't say anything.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's happening.
No one wants to share their story with us.
You know, that's not your fault, AT. That's their fault.
But am I fired
or no? I just came for all of our listeners.
Am I fired or no?
I don't know, guys. Should we fire AT because you don't want to call us? Because this is on
you.
Go to my
YouTube page and click the link in the bio.
Okay, guys, we're going to do a quick poll.
So we are having a happy hour. We're announcing new happy hour.
Yes.
And we want everyone to come. So Well, if you have any questions or anything like that, definitely holler at us, and we can talk all about it. They can be about anything.
Yeah.
We'll have all our friends and stuff there.
Bring your favorite beverage. We're going to have some of our some of our favorite guests will be there to talk with you as well. We know how much you guys love those guys. So we don't have to talk necessarily just about legislative stuff. We can talk about a wide variety of things going on.
Anything you want. Anything you want.
So it's going to be very chill, very loose, you know.
Slide the DMs. Let us know where you want us to take it to.
You know,
It's
going to be very casual.
Socks are not mandatory. You can wear shoes without socks to this. It doesn't matter.
You heard it here first, folks.
That's
speaking
right.
about wearing shoes without socks, I was wearing just flip-flops the other day.
When?
On Wednesday. Wednesday. When I heard what I thought was a tractor trailer hitting a building or hitting a light pole or something on Rosewood Drive a block away from me.
A large boom.
Shortly thereafter, we heard a every siren ever created.
A panoply of sirens. Yeah. I texted Gavin because he lives about a mile away from me. And I was like, Gavin, are you hearing these sirens? What is going on? And
yes.
He's like, yeah, there was a big boom too. And I
big
said,
boom.
Bro, these are exotic sirens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing
just
French.
Coming.
I'm hearing Belgian. I'm hearing Italian. And so Gavin's like, I can't tell what it is. I was like, bud, you got to get down there. Get busy, get going.
I popped out, looked down the street from me. I can see Rosewood Drive, and I didn't see anything like backed up. I didn't see anything crazy. I'm like, where are they all going? So I was like, fine, I'll get in the car. It was 37 degrees out, flip-flops,
rainy
pants. Just really the
foggy,
work. Really
foggy.
Had the work from home look going on too. Just like trashy fleas, very foggy, like you're talking about. And I
so
circled
you
around the block.
Down there.
Yeah, I circled around the block and started seeing lights and started trying to pinpoint the location. And it was just barely two blocks away from me that
a single
engine plane had crashed into a house into their backyard. Caught the house on fire. The pilot died. Just wild stuff for the neighborhood just because you don't expect that. I mean, it didn't sound, I mean, it,
that's the most it action Rosewood seeing.
It was an odd sounding crash, but I don't know. It didn't sound like plane crash. Obviously we're not talking about a huge jetliner here. We're talking about just a small plane. And that's because I'm near the airport, you know, Owens Field.
Gavin knows his crashes too. You know, your crashes, you can. Oh, I know what that is.
I mean, you know, you've been around things. We always hear the sounds from the rail yard. It just kind of echoes. It's also down by the Owens Field. You can hear when they're like making these big moves. And you know that boom that we heard the other day too, which was the that gas valve over
that was
near Lake
crazy.
Murray. I mean,
yes,
we
that
heard
sounded like
booms.
My neighbor's house exploded.
You know, and you get random aircraft flying through all the time. So.
I saw you and Meg down there, right?
Yeah, it was sad.
Not to make light of someone crashing their plane and dying.
And, you know, again, one casualty, one death because of that. And luckily, the house that crashed into, the woman got out okay. I think her cats clawed her or something like that. That's what I read. She was trying to escape with the cats.
Can't
confirm. And then I guess I was the first news media on the scene two blocks away. And
a lot of my friends were texting me and like, they're using Gavin Picture on the news.
You're like, yeah, that's what he does.
he's a newsman. Yeah.
Cause I was down there and I asked a cop, I'm like, what happened? You know, get the basic. And he's like, plane crash. I was like, you don't hear that very often. So I just tweeted plane crash in Rosewood, you know,
you were the first guy. You were the first newser down there
in flip flops. Yeah. It was just really rough. I didn't even have my mask on me. I left my video camera in the car. Like I was just really just kind of
the commitment is real.
Yes.
Commitment is real.
Love Grove showed up and then Meg. And so it became a big old gaggle and we got the latest, but
you're saying you risked your little piggies for the news.
Yes. And then I stepped in some mud and then I had to rinse off my feet in like the running water down the street. Yeah, it was an ordeal.
You trudged mud in the house and your mom was so mad.
It's just like, oh, it was weird because, you know, we cover spot news when it happens, but this is, you know, it was an odd thing
normally
to do.
It's not in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Too.
You know, it's like two blocks away. Could have landed at my house. Thank God again that it didn't injure too many people. Unfortunately, the one death, but yeah, it was very shocking. Very foggy day.
Very foggy.
Like,
incredibly fogged.
You couldn't really see above the trees. That's how foggy it was. So pretty jarring day. And then, you know, State of the State was that night. So quite the bookends for my Wednesday, I would say.
It was a big news day for you. I mean, just like front to back news, and it's like you can't get a break, my guy.
Yes, it was like okay, and then like
all these insurrections,
and then right in between was like impeachment, right? So it's like
yeah,
it's like that's become such the MO that we're like, oh, it's just a typical day of like insanity,
absolute
you know?
desensitization.
Yes,
I don't know, is that a word? I don't know. I made it up. I said
I think you know. Yeah, some people. It's like treated the impeachment like it was like secondhand news or it wasn't even that big of a news story. It's like, no, this is big news.
I know. It's the first time it's ever happened twice. Yes. So come on, guys, get with it.
Yeah. So busy day.
Yeah. Mine was not so crazy. I didn't really do much. I found online the first Lord of the Rings I ever read as a kid that I bought. Mm. So I'm going to read those again.
Nostalgia.
Very cool. Very nostalgia. And today's a big night for me, Gavin.
Oh.
Today's new cookbook night. I finally ordered all of the very weird Chinese ingredients that I need to cook. Legit Don Don noodles. I got this new cookbook for Christmas, Every Grain of Rice by Fuchsia Dunlop. And I'm very excited. I'll let you know how it turns out. But I had to order the weirdest things. It's like fermented vegetables. And the bag says, do not use if bag is expanding. I enjoy this. This is cool.
Yeah, warning. So,
if I'm not here on Monday, guys, it's because I ate the expanding bag of fermented vegetables.
The bag expanded. I will tell you, the only time I ever see expanded bags is when I was in Montana, 2 years ago now, like when we were skiing, and all the bags, everything, you're so high up elevation, all the bags have expanded. They're so full. You're like, one little pop. But I would say, just tacking on that really quick, I did get this like honey, citron, ginger tea, like...
Oh, yeah, you texted me about this. You're very excited about it.
Like, you can put it in your tea. It's delicious. And then you can also use it almost like a marinade, too. I've been throwing it on with the chicken and, like, in this great orange chicken that I've been searching for.
It sounds to me like you're micro-dosing yourself. Yeah,
I just take a little scoop and I put it in my tea and then everything's great.
A little tincture.
A little taste. It's a little sweet. I see stars.
Yeah, I see stars. I lose it for a second. I wake up in strange places, but I love it.
And to continue Gavin's food pantry corner,
yes,
I know of one leader. I don't know if I can name him, but we all know him, Tanner McGill, who is curious to the soybean spaghetti pasta. So
stop it, Tanner. No.
Do it. Take the plunge. Call in, dude.
I mean, I just don't eat those. Don't eat noodle analogs.
Also get like a crazy good amount of fiber, which we all know no one is getting enough of.
Oh, we're talking
again. 25 grams of protein.
If anything, this should drive everyone to our Instagram to look at the dank dank meme that I made about Gavin's juicing regimen, and go like it and send us your take, and I'll read it. I'll read it in the happy
hour.
And we can drag Gavin's cooking.
It's healthy cooking, AT.
Gavin's healthy cupboard.
This is my transition to tell you that we are changing over to a new age health and wellness podcast. And
we're
this is
definitely
the last
health
day
and wellness.
We will be talking about politics.
Next week, it's all essential oils, baby.
We delve deep into lavender.
It's going to change your life, guys. I mean, I feel so well now. Take it out. They don't need to hear any more of this.
Yeah. We'll have Gwyneth Paltrow on talking about...
Hashtag goop, hashtag new life.
Let's get back on track for 2021, folks. Again, thanks for listening to the pod. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. You can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40. And if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Can't wait. Bye.
Can't wait. XOXO. How do I hang up on it? I'm clicking the leave button.
These freaks can still see me!
You're not muted, sir.
Oh, God.